Good morning. I'm sure we're surprising you this morning. You've all got an insert, and it doesn't seem like this group here is going to be exactly following that, and we're not. We've made a change from what was planned, and this change happened yesterday. So I'm going to ask you all to please indulge us. Be patient with us if we mess up. Understand that this isn't our forte. We don't normally do this. If any of you are having difficulty hearing any of us, I urge you to move on forward. There's a lot of space open down here. I kind of want to start out, first of all, as Pastor said, this is the leadership team. And I want to assure you that before we're done here today, you will hear from Pastor John and you will hear from Dr. Graybill. We're just getting this started. So you may all wonder what's going on, what's happening. And I want to start out by letting you know that there are probably questions, and we've heard comments that, you know, what's going on here? Why all of a sudden did we bring in Dr. Graybill? Well, I want to let you know that from our standpoint, we realize that for a very long time, going way back in history, this church has really kind of let things just take place, and we really haven't taken an active participation in healing them. We've taken some steps. We've done some things here and there, but we haven't been really successful at any of those. And so as we continue to see people leaving this church, hurting because they've left this church, we're hurting. We're sure they're hurting. We're sure that all of you are out there are hurting. We, the Board of Trustees and the Ministry Council, said we need to do something, and we need to do something extreme. And while perhaps this is something we should have done some time ago, we realize that we don't have the expertise to solve this ourselves, which we had been trying to do and has been trying to be done for years. And that was one of the reasons we brought in Dr. Graybill. And Dr. Graybill has spent a lot of intense time with us and a lot of intense time with the pastor, even more so than with us. And from that, what we've just beginning to scratch the surface, and we've learned that we're not so much a team as we are a work group. And to represent you the way that we should represent you, we need to become a team. And we need to have somebody along that will help us become a team. Because we want for this church what every one of you wants for this church. We want this place filled. But we want it filled with people who are seeking the Lord, who want to know the Lord, who want to fellowship with us, who want to be members of this family. We embrace you all, whether you've been here for 40 years or whether you've been here for 40 days. We're thrilled that you're with us, and we continue to open those doors and invite people in. The board, as your spokesperson, and you're going to hear from many of them today, I'm not the only one who's going to be up here talking today. The board wants to start out by recognizing that we have not taken the steps that we should have taken long ago, that we are just starting to take the steps that we should take. And we want to apologize for you for letting this go on and letting this wound fester and letting this sore become worse and worse as time goes on. We are trying very hard to get it to heal. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your indulgence. We ask for your help. People back here today are not just there metaphorically. They have my back. And I can't tell you how important that is. And we want to have your back, and we want you to have our back. So I start out by just simply offering you an apology, asking for your forgiveness, asking you to stay with us and to hear what is being said and to watch what is being done in this church. And I'm going to end right here for now, and I'm going to hand this off to Miss Brandy.
You guys know I love you, but this makes me crazy, standing up here in front of everybody. I came to this church as Brandy Gaylor, mom and dad. I got married in this church. I had my babies in this church. They were dedicated in this church. They graduated in this church. Many of you knew and went to my older daughter's wedding. And I was under the impression that when I chose people to go and sit in this room behind me and meet with our pastor and discuss things, that they were representing me. And I want to apologize to you because I elected those people, as many of you did, and a lot of those people didn't have my best interest or the best interest of this church when they went behind those doors. They said things, they did things, and they spoke words that were not representative of me or my thoughts or my opinions about what needed to happen inside this church. And I want to apologize that I let that happen, that I was a witness to that, that I was a part of it. I have watched many of my friends walk out of this building and turn their back, not just on this building, but on me. And it hasn't been easy. But I believe in this church. I believe in Pastor John. I believe that God has a story, and he's writing it with each one of us involved in it. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm where I need to be, and that I am here because God wants me to be here. And I have no doubt that God is going to bless this place. And I just want each of you to know how sorry I am that it has come to this and that I was a part of that. The scripture today, I'm going to preach. I'm just kidding. you guys know I can't preach. I just talk a lot. The scripture this morning, I always get my inbox scripture, and the scripture this morning was from Acts. And of course, they probably mentioned, but I was in the nursery, that it's Pentecost Sunday. But the scripture from Acts 1 says, he told them, you don't get to know the time. You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit is here, you guys. And I believe he's going to work. And I just want you to know that.
Marion, would you take your pad? Because I'm like you. I have lots of stuff to sit down. Could I say again, as Marion has said, that I know what's happening right now as this service unfolds is not what you were expecting, and it's not what we advertised. And just again to stress, we called an audible. We made a change today because we really want to address where we are as a church, how we got here, what we're going to do going forward. And Dr. Graybill has been an incredible resource to us already. Marion alluded to this, but he's not only met one-on-one with each of our leadership team as they were available to him over these 2 weekends that he's been here. We've been having a call 3 times a month on nearly an hour on the telephone processing where we're at, what God would be saying by Spirit to us. One of the things that has resulted from that are some sleepless nights, and there's a scripture that I would read and a prayer that comes from that. It's in Psalm 19, and some of you are familiar with how that psalm ends, which is the prayer. But the author says this. This is a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. God certainly has been speaking to my heart, as he's prone to do in the creation. And he's been speaking to me in the dark of night. And the psalmist continues, he celebrates just how lovely the word, the written word of God is. But then he goes on to make this confession, his prayer. Who can discern his errors? Who can discern his errors? It's a rhetorical question. We can't, we don't, apart from inspiration, revelation, those who come around us and show us the way, the error of our way. The prayer of his heart is, declare me innocent from hidden faults. You know what that is, folks? That's grace. That's grace. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Here's the prayer you're familiar with, I'm sure. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Who can discern his errors, his hidden faults? Here's something I've been learning. It's not exactly new, but I'm getting a strong reminder of it. Hidden faults are hidden to no one but ourselves. And I wrote in the journal margins here of my Bible, O God, unveil my eyes, unstop my ears, soften my heart, heal my hurt, clear my mind of confusion. What I'm about to share comes from my heart. Nobody scripted it for me, and nobody's making me say it. I'm completely grateful for the opportunity to stand here and for the support of those who are behind me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to take this step forward toward the healing of our deep woundedness and into the freedom that comes from confession and forgiveness. So I simply want to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my attitudes and actions which have contributed to the dysfunction and disorder of our leadership team, to our ministry structure, and to our church at large. I'm sorry for those same attitudes and actions that have wounded some of you, and certainly wounded many others who made the painful decision to leave our fellowship. Specifically, I've been impatient with people and processes. I've been prideful, defensive, and angry. I've been distant, emotionally disconnected, and those things at crucial times when patience, humility, openness, and gentleness were most needed. I've been quick to react or speak when I needed to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. For the needless hurt and the damage my attitudes and actions have caused, I'm truly sorry. I'm deeply disappointed in myself, and I desperately desire your forgiveness. I'm doggedly committed to being better as a husband, a father, a friend, and most certainly a pastor. I need your prayers, your help and grace as I change and grow. I am devoted to you and this church and to more rightly reflecting Christ's attitude by living accordingly. I promise I will invest myself fully in the process of coaching and development. And as I learn, I'll make mistakes. I'll try on new ways of behaving that won't fit so well at first. But I will do so with an eye towards blessing you and serving you better. Thank you.
Okay, I'm out of turn. But your board, your leaders, and your pastor has just asked for forgiveness. And one of the things that when somebody asks for forgiveness, we need to respond. And you may be ready to respond, you may not be ready to respond, but they've asked you to forgive them, to release them from your judgment and to allow God to be the judge, and that you will release your judgment. You're holding them because of the hurt. And we when we don't forgive, it's because we've been hurt and we want to make that judgment. But forgiveness is trusting God. Forgiveness is saying, God, I will trust you enough to forgive. I will release those who have hurt me and trust you to do what's right. And so I heard your applause, and I appreciate that. But they need to hear your forgiveness. So I'm going to ask simply, can you forgive your leadership team? And will you forgive your leadership team and your pastor for what they, without intent, without malice, has happened? Can you as a body forgive your leadership team? If so, just respond, yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay. So the next thing then is what are some of the answers? What are we doing? As Marion said, we brought Dr. Graybill on to kind of help us through this process. And we've met with him close to 20 hours as a group. He's met with each of us individually. And he's been asking some wonderful questions to get us thinking about where we're headed. You know, some of the different things that we've talked about are what are some of the different, what are the seven aspects of a healthy church or a healthy team? And those being relational, being transparent, being proactive, showing grace and truth, which are kind of, as he said, are twins that have to be balanced with each other, as well as confession and forgiveness. And so we've been looking at those and saying, okay, where are we as a leadership team? Where are we deficient? Where do we need to improve? Where do we need to grow and get better? Why, as a leader, why as a board do we exist? What is our purpose? What do we need to do? And so we brainstormed and we came up with different things that we need to do, what our purpose is, what our function is in the church. You know, making sure that we're doctrinally pure, making sure that we're making disciples, doing church discipline when necessary, but also support. And that means pastoral support. That means ministry support, both in encouragement and financially. So we're looking at making sure that we're fiscally sound. That's another part of the budget that we're examining, as well as supporting the vision and the mission of the church. And the other piece of that is communication. We have to make sure that we're communicating as a team with each other, that we're communicating with you, which brought us to this. So we're revisiting our structure. You know, we've been in the past, we've operated as two separate bodies, the board and the ministry council. And this year, as a joint resolution, we've been operating as one body or one team. And that seems to be a much better way of doing things. And so we've been talking about possibly making that permanent, from this point forward, meeting just as one group and not having two separate governing bodies, but one, so that we can be a united team, so that we can be efficient teams, so we can be a healthy team. And so those are all things that Dr. Graybill is helping us to change the culture of our team and to change the culture of our church. So
did I cover?
Yeah.
Hit all the. Okay. So, I think it's Dr. Back to Dr. Graybill. So.
Okay. You may wonder why, as Marion talked about, why bring somebody in from the outside? And a lot of times we in churches, and if you were here before, I believe I mentioned that I've pastored a church for 35 years, and I understand the mentality of a church. I've spent time there, and one thing I've noticed about us as a church, I'm not saying this church, but us as churches, is that we have a DIY mentality, a do-it-yourself mentality. In fact, we have a TV channel that just has nothing but DIY. And we're Americans, and we're out west, and we have this, we can do it. The problem is, sometimes we don't always have the skills to do it. I've remodeled some things that I wish I hadn't remodeled. because when I was done, I realized I didn't have the skills to do that. And so sometimes we bring in outside help because we need help in understanding the processes and the skills. And I'm not here to change. I'm not bringing the change. I am bringing a process. Joseph mentioned that we're cultural change. And that's what we're trying to look at, is cultural change for real change. Oftentimes, a church will say, we're in a crisis, so we need to just fix this. And we'll call in somebody and say, can you fix this problem? And a lot of times in business, we do this. We fix the problem. But without cultural change, without a shift in the way we live, we will simply have another problem. It may have a different face, but it'll be exactly the same problem because the culture needs to shift. The best example of that is people who get out of debt, of spending on credit cards, and unless they change the way they spend, they'll be back in debt because it takes a change. And so my goal is not to bring and impose anything upon you. This is your leadership team, and they are doing the work. What I do is I bring a process that your leaders can work through and arrive at your best answers. I do not have your answers. I've told them I do not have your answers because your answers are here. They are not from outside. You have the best answers that you have in your team and in you. And so while I'm active behind the scenes with your pastor and with your team, I want you to know that I'm not dictating, I'm not telling, I'm not bringing and saying, here's your solution. I'm asking questions, asking them to find their best solutions. However, this is a process and it will be a bumpy process. And I need to say that because sometimes we look at outside help or we look at processes and we want them to be perfect. But there is no perfection here. We are in a process and every process has bumps. Every process has missteps where we back up, apologies, changes, adjustments. And that's just the way it happens. And as we shift this culture, sometimes it can be uncomfortable because a cultural shift means we actually do things a little differently. And so I want you to know that in this shift, as I have worked with your leadership team, there's two or three things that stand out to me very, very clearly. One is, this is a good church. You've had a great past. You have a great future. This church belongs in this community, healthy and making a difference. The second thing I've noticed is that your leadership team has a heart for this church and for you. They desperately love you, and they love this church, and they love God. And the third thing that I have noticed is that they are willing to do the work to be excellent leaders in the future for you. And I want to encourage you to know that from my perspective as an outsider, but also as somebody who works with this, your future can be very bright as we walk through this cultural shift to a healthy culture. And it is very hopeful. And I am very hopeful that with their working and your embracing the shift, that the brightest days of this church are still ahead because God needs you in this community. God needs you healthy in this community. And God wants you and will do. He is more interested in the health of this church and you than anyone else. And he's at work, especially on Pentecost Sunday. I think that's amazing.
Preach, but I'm just kidding. I'm really not, because that's not my thing. The next process is, as we see fewer and fewer people here, we worry about money. And I will tell you, I hate dealing with money. I ask these guys, I'll just like check out when we're talking about it, but I need to be better, and God's working on me, so you guys can be praying for me. But we as a board have, or committee or team or team. I'm still learning. I'm in this process. Poor team. Poor team has to work with me. This team has challenged Pastor John over the next couple weeks to start preaching messages on stewardship and tithing. And I know that that drives people crazy because some of you are like me and we don't want to talk about money because I just let my husband deal with it. But that's not necessarily the right attitude to have. The Lord wants us to be good stewards with our money. He wants to be able to give us what he has already given us and us to use it in the way that he wants us to use it. In the scriptures, there's one time that God tells us to test him, and he says to test him by bringing the money and see if he will repay it. He may not tell you, that's not what I meant to say. He may not give it back to you as a check. You may not get a check in the mail, but if you give your money to the church, you might get a meal that you didn't know you were supposed to have at just the right time. Somebody may deliver something to you, a bag of clothes. Somebody may do something for you that is not necessarily monetary. And sometimes we forget those things that, I'm giving my money. I'm supposed to have, money back because God said. But he's going to bless you in a different way. And yes, maybe he will just give you more money. Maybe you'll get a raise. Maybe you'll get something. Who knows? Because God does that. And he is a bigger God and a smarter God than I can ever even attempt to be. But I do want to remind you, I told a bunch of you last year as a testimony that even though my husband doesn't come to church, he makes sure that I give my tithe. And he has to write a check and say, take it. And it's awesome because he is faithful in that. And when Chelsea got so sick last year and we weren't expecting it, we were tithing and God provided every bill that came in from her hospital visit, her ER visit, her ambulance visit. Every unexpected bill that came in, there was money to pay for it. And it's because God is faithful to me because I'm faithful to him. And so we've challenged Pastor John over the next couple weeks to share that, to share the stewardship aspect of it. We're not just going to stand up here and ask for money because it's not about that. It's about your obedience to following Christ's request for you to be a good steward with his money. And it's all his money, you guys. He just gives it to us on loan for a little bit. And you know what? We can't take it with us because there's no extra trailers or hearses that have trailers or any of that business that you hear, you know, because we can't take it with us. And we have to be able to give to others to receive. And the more you give, the more you receive.
I suppose if you cry, then it's not good.
Well, you know, I'm blubbering. Ask these guys, I've been blubbering all weekend.
You've heard some things this morning that you probably weren't expecting to hear when you walked in the door. And my job this morning is to kind of at least send part of this. As we stand here or sit here this morning, we're asking you to join us wholeheartedly in moving forward. We're asking you, we've already asked you for forgiveness. Maybe we'll have to ask you for forgiveness again at some point. But our heart is, we will move forward together. Our goal is souls. Our goal is the kingdom of heaven. Our goal is really not our personal comfort, although we all like to be comfortable. Our goal is that we will follow Jesus. And there's a corporate following that happens for all of us together. But there's an individual goal following that says, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And if you're like me, I have to put the blinders on because it's so easy to think about what someone else is doing or how they're going to view what I'm doing instead of simply looking, God, what is it you want me to do? This is our church, but really it's God's church. And we are going to press forward. We're going to grow. We're going to learn. We're going to be different. We're going to ask you not to continue or not to listen to reports that you may hear or pick up the grievance from someone else. You've heard us ask for forgiveness, and we will do our best to move forward. We're not asking to jettison friendship, simply that if negative comments arise, would you just change the subject? Again, your response and our response is really this: Lord, what is it you want me to do? That brings peace. If I say, Lord, what is Brandon going to do? Somehow or another, or Pastor John, I'm missing part of the point. Lord, what do you want me to do? And there is peace in that. Because at the end of the day, when you sit late in bed at night, Lord, have I tried to do your will? There can be something more than just, well, I guess I'm with the crowd or whatever. I want to ask you to pray for us. We will need prayer. This is a change. And we are going to be doing some different things to help us get there, but it will take effort and time. And the older you get, the more you realize that changing habits has to be intentional. And if it's not intentional in most cases, unless something else changes. Okay, sorry, I'm using my phone because I wanted not to forget what I wanted to say. We're on a journey together to spiritual health, relational health, and church health. We want to bring the best of ourselves to this process because God calls us to be individually healthy as well. But it all fits together. So let our answer be, when we come to those points of questioning or doubt, let our answer be, God, you can do anything. Here I am. Use me.
They told us that we had 45 minutes. I haven't really been watching the clock. We're going to go as long as we want to. Sorry. I just like to say, when we decided that we would bring on Dr. Graybill, I stood before you and I told you that we would start this journey and that we would ask you to go along with us. I wasn't kidding. We're asking you to be part of this with us. Help us as we ask for your forgiveness. Help us repent. Help bring things to us that we don't see, that we are unaware of. We also told you that this process would be transparent. And in that vein, today after we finish here, Dr. Graybill is going to be in the overflow along with all of us. And any questions and all questions are open for discussion. Do not be afraid. Do not hesitate to ask us anything that you feel you need to ask us, to try to clarify anything that you need to have clarified, or to gain a better understanding. We're not going to do everything right. We're going to try real hard, and we mean to, but I can assure you we're not, because we're far from perfect people that you see sitting up here. So be patient with us, assist us, help us, and stay with us as we go on this journey. We only stand to win, and we'll win God's glory if we do it for him and about him. So I'm going to ask, does anybody else have anything they want to say? I know we haven't heard from Rick. I would like to ask him maybe to end us in prayer, if he could. And Pastor John, if he, did you have?
Sure, Joanne. I thought I saw you lurch forward. Okay. And certainly as we're over here in the overflow and you need to hear from us, you certainly can ask of us. I know that for some of you think, you're going to start preaching on stewardship. I'm going to give you a little time to ramp up for that. We have a holiday coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and so we're not going to preach that series over Memorial Day weekend, but we have something the Lord is prompting in us already for next week. So, and it's applicable to us all. And I look forward to seeing you all back next week, and And I hope that you'll have the faith and trust and love for us and for this body that you would feel good about bringing someone alongside, that they could hear the word of the Lord and join us in worshiping Jesus, because it really is all about him. Thank you for your patience and for your attentiveness.
I understand. I've been in your seat in a church that was very unhealthy. And as the journey progressed, as we became healthy again, it's a very delightful place to be. And I want to just encourage you. And I know I've been in discussion, you know, talking, questioning, and I understand your culture is a little hesitant to maybe have stewardship and talk. Maybe that bothers you. And I just would like to address that, because every pastor hates talking about money, because we fear that somehow we will be misread. And I just want to encourage you not to be afraid of that conversation. It's not really about money. It's about stewardship. It's about the spiritual dynamic. And I really want to encourage you, because part of a healthy church is a church that is healthy in all areas. And as we go forward, as you go forward, and even if you say, oh, you know, Pastor John, I'm not sure I like that message, listen to it. Smile at him. He needs you smiling at him. And you might actually like it in the end. And if you don't, it's okay. It won't kill you. You won't drop over dead in your chair. But it's a message that brings health from a healthy church, because a generous church, the Bible in Proverbs speaks much about a generous man. And a generous church is blessed of God hugely. And I don't know, I just was felt prompted that I wanted to really encourage you in that area, to not shy away from some of those things, even though in the past perhaps the culture has been to shy away. But I want to encourage you not to. To embrace it along with all the other changes, because they're part of a healthy church. And we don't have secrets. And I encourage you, when we're over here, feel free to ask questions. I really do encourage. There are no secrets. There are no secrets. And you can ask anything and everything. If you have any question of me, do not be fearful. I will be honest with you, and we all will be honest with you, because that's our commitment. Your leadership team has committed to transparency and honesty with you, because that's the only way we can earn your trust. And yes, Rick.
Is it okay if I share my heart for a second? No, don't sit down. This won't take very long. We've got 7 minutes. I grew up in a very unhealthy church. Didn't know it was unhealthy until I got older. And then it showed itself to be so. Throughout my life, I've been a part of many unhealthy churches. And I've never seen this. I've never seen the steps from the team, from the leadership, to say, we're done being unhealthy. It is time to move to a place of health. Folks, healthy hurts. No matter whether you're an Olympic runner or you're a couch potato wanting to get off the couch, it hurts. It hurts to maintain, and it hurts to get healthy. But I am so excited and proud to be a part of this team because of what they're doing, what I get to be a part of, what you get to be a part of. Let's pray. Jesus says, as we continue in our time this morning, we fix our eyes on you. As we continued this centered process. We center ourselves on you, that we would follow you, that we would ask those questions. How or what do you want me to do? Pray that as our conversation continues this morning, as our worship continues, as our fellowship continues, that everything that comes out of our mouths brings you praise and honor and glory. That our focus is on you. We give you today. Jesus, we thank you for today. It is in your name that we give all of this to you. We lift all of this up and we ask all of these things. Jesus, in your name, amen.